And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. We got desperate teams. We got the best in the West. We got Coach of the Year picks, Rising Stars, and West All-Star Guards. Today, February 2nd, it's Groundhog Day. Jay, are you a believer in the groundhog?
Absolutely not. It is one of the stupidest traditions
in the world.
The fact that we think this idiot groundhog can determine whether we continue with winter. And does anyone actually pay attention? This groundhog never actually predicts whether winter is right. I need a better accuracy.
When has winter ever been over on February 2nd? It's, of course, it always sees a shadow. There's always 6 more weeks of winter. Like, yeah, we don't have to fact check it. Winter's never over on February 2nd.
Groundhog Day was a good movie, though.
It's a great movie, Marcus.
Yeah.
You have to like Groundhog Day.
There was a point in my life where I did. Then I grew up.
Wow.
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 Goodness. All right. Let's get to it.
Who doesn't like Bill Murray movies? Come on.
Bill Murray, I mean, he's the GOAT, right?
Yeah, no, he's great. Of course.
He's the best.
Adam Sandler's the GOAT.
I actually feel that way, really, though, about Chevy Chase movies.
Chevy Chase is... I do like the vacation movies. I like the vacation movies. Anything other than that, I'll admit, I don't love your Caddyshacks. I don't love your Fletch. Like, it's fine, but I don't love it. Not the best.
It was great when I was 7.
All right, let's get to our two contestants in this corner. The most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics. He reps Kings.
2-22.
And he still believes
that last loss.
Still believes in who could we throw in here? Bobby Hurley, Aaron Kraft.
Absolutely.
Yes,
I believe in Bobby Hurley. That was family.
That wasn't his fault. I don't know if the car accident was his fault, but you know, he got in a car accident, ruined his career. We'll leave it at that.
Bobby, I still believe in the whole Hurley family. They can all coach.
You could, well, okay.
Except for Bobby.
Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, the NBA officials said they lose sleep over missed calls. What causes you to lose sleep?
My job. Everything about my job. I watch the Kings until like 1 a.m. every night. And then that's why I never get any sleep. So that's why.
Yeah.
So also, I can do 1 minute of Kings talk every week.
That other podcasts are ripping off, by the way. And in this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. 3 books, long titles. Find him in bookstores. He's the friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley, Sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the Petty in Petaluma. Most importantly, the OG from Oakland. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what causes you to lose sleep?
Racism.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's a good answer. I've lost a lot of sleep about dealing with racism. Yeah.
That's a better answer than watching the Kings, I guess.
That's a tough transition for this podcast.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough month for y'all.
It's a short month.
You got 4 weeks.
Four weeks of Punxsutawney Phil racist shadow. There's 4 weeks of Black Heritage. All right, we did it. We brought it back. Banter fulfilled. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. The trade clock is ticking. Desperate times call for desperate measures, fellas. The NBA trade deadline is officially 1 week away. There's some prominent teams on the outside looking in. You got your Bulls, you got your Raptors, your Blazers, your Lakers. Jay, which of those teams will show the most desperation and make a win now move next Thursday?
That's clear. The Lakers. The Lakers are just good enough to do something so stupid.
Yeah, they're
just good enough. They have been playing like okay lately. LeBron has been at just an outrageous level for someone of his age, or anyone really.
Yeah.
Davis just got back. Achimura like doesn't really do a lot when he's on the court, but also he's 6'8 and athletic, which they really, really needed.
Yeah.
And they still have those picks to go out and get like two or three more guys who can just contribute, which they could probably convince themselves is all they need because the Western Conference is wide open. LeBron is playing at an extremely high level. Like this is not peak LeBron.
Yeah.
But he's been amazing lately.
Part of me wonders if once he gets this record in the next couple of games, will he chill out a little bit?
You don't wonder.
Will he chill out a little bit? Because he's really going right now for this thing. And I wonder. You know?
No, he's feeling it because he just said he's not going away anytime soon. He's going to play for at least a few more years. Like he's really feeling it right now.
Yeah.
He's really feeling it.
Marcus, which of these teams is going to make a move?
I'm going to go with... Yeah, I feel like the Lakers, man. I feel like getting Anthony Davis back, the way LeBron is playing, like they have the capital. And you know what? You know who's actually gained some level of value? Like Russell Westbrook.
He's been really good in that role, man. He's been really good.
I'm gonna bat back on that one. He has put up points, rebounds, and assists in that role.
Hey, man,
how does that not equal trade value?
Yeah.
How does that not make some GM say,
he has an expiring deal. Let's not act like Russell Westbrook has been a super helpful player. He's embraced it though.
No. You're saying that as if you have to be a super helpful player to get traded. Like there aren't general managers in the league who like don't look at like, hey, look what he's averaging lately. And then Rui just Hachimura make a move.
Just got traded. He wasn't super helpful in Washington.
Russ has done enough to make you think, yo, he's not gonna blow it up when he gets there. Like you can put him in a couple of roles, and he's an expired contract. And at some point, he does know how to like. He still can play hard and be reasonably effective when he's playing hard. Like. I do feel like he's shown that. Like 2 months ago, you didn't know if Russ was going. You could trade for Russ. He's like, you know what? I'm out. I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah.
But I feel like this role he's had it gives him some level of value. I think, and that to me puts the Lakers in position probably better than anybody to like make a move and make a surge. Who else can make a move and end up like seriously the move paying off? I don't know how many teams that have the capital to make the move and have the pieces to take advantage of a move like that. To me, it's the Lakers, really.
They have to be buyers. They have to be. Only because LeBron has been good enough. And the rest of their roster has looked like, not really competent, but like they look like they could be a couple pieces away from being at least a challenger.
Look, man, I'm not saying they would be a favorite
because they wouldn't. And they need a lot of help defensively, especially.
I've seen on Twitter hand-wringing over the Wenyen Gabriel minutes for the Lakers. Like, Lakers fans and Lakers writers and stuff. Like
they want more, right?
They want more, yeah.
That's when you need a little bit more depth.
Yeah, that's when you know, like, all right, maybe we gotta fill this roster out a little bit. I'll tell you, who do you think should sell more, the Bulls or the Raptors?
I think the Bulls are more hopeless than the Raptors.
Yeah, I agree.
Because DeMar DeRozan is amazing. Like watching that guy play is so just spectacular. He has really almost as much as anyone else in the NBA, he has mastered what he does.
Yeah.
And he's really kind of unstoppable. But at the same time, like the mix with him, Zach LaVine, and Vucevic was never going to be good enough.
Right.
And we've seen that now. Lonzo Ball was supposed to be a key part of that team, and who knows what's happening with him.
And it can't just be like, well, once Lonzo gets back, we're good. Like he's a really nice point guard, really nice role player, but he's not pulling all that together, right?
And none of those guys have any value, really. DeRozan more because of his age. I think he could fetch something good if they decided to move him. Caruso could fetch something good. But LaVine's contract is bad. Vucevic's contract is bad. And the Raptors, like, they're not a good team.
But that next one's going to be bad.
The Raptors aren't a good team, but they have players who could really help a team. And I think OG Anunoby could really help a team. Pascal Siakam could really help a team. Fred VanVleet could help a team. Even Gary Trent, you go down to him. Like, he could be helpful in the right place. So I think the Bulls just, like, there's nothing there. And they should probably recognize that, but maybe they don't. Because they did put this core together like a year ago.
Well, yeah, it's not like this has been a long-term thing. Like, maybe we get it together. Like, it's been like a little over a year. Marcus, would you give multiple first-round picks for Alex Caruso?
I would, personally.
Yeah.
Multiple?
That's been the whispers. That's the asking price. Yeah. That's the asking price.
I got a stack of first-round picks right here. He can have a couple of them. Like, all right. Yeah, they're wilding. I mean,
that's what you asked for, right? Hey, I'd like this car for $100 a month, please.
Yeah, and then at some point when they walk away, you'll be like, "All right, I'll just play. Yeah. All right.
Whatever you want me to pay, I'll pay. I'll do a little.
Just for the record, he is averaging 5.7 points per game, and he is a heck of a defender. He is a heck of a connector. But, like, if you're giving up multiple first-round picks, you at least want someone who could threaten to score the basketball.
But also, like, who's giving up the – like, it's LaVine, it's DeMar, it's Vooch.
And
like,
I love Caruso, but a couple first-round picks is a lot.
Yeah.
That's wild behavior.
Take two, how to choose coach of the year on Wednesday. Our own Sam Amick, Josh Robbins, and James Edwards III asked the question, who leads the coach of the year race? They discuss their own personal criteria for choosing their award winner and give their selections. And their selections include, Schlecht, I always pump fake on this one. Mark Daigneault. Yeah. That's close enough of the Thunder.
It's time to learn that man's name. I don't know it either, but
yeah. Oh, I got a thumbs up. Eat shit, Jay. Keep that in. Mike Brown of the Kings and Jacques Vaughn of the Nets. Wow, no Joe Mazzulla, huh? Jay. Who do you have as coach of the year so far? We know who you have it. Marcus, who do you have as coach of the year so far?
Probably the same person Jay has.
Okay, that's fine. I'd rather hear it from you than from Jay.
To me, it's Mike Brown has them number 3 in the West with virtually the same team that couldn't make the playoffs. And it's even bigger
they
than
they did at Malik, like, Monk, bro.
My bad. Valuable addition.
Kevin Herter.
He came last year. He was a midseason trade last year. He was on the squad.
Who?
Wasn't Kevin Herter on the squad last year?
No, it was the summer. That was after DeJounte Murray.
You're thinking of DeMontis Sabonis, the other white guy. The other white guy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. which I can say because it's February. The culture and expectation of the Kings right now is like directly connected to Mike Brown. And it's actually kind of wild, right? Like how fast he's generated this vibe and this expectation. And I give him coach of the year for the simple fact that Trey Lyles finally looks like the dude I thought he was going to be coming out of Kentucky.
He dunked on Rudy Gobert the other night.
Whatever happened? Like, what the hell is this? Trey Lyles is a monster with Mike Brown. This is insane.
Sabonis fouled out in that game, and it allowed them to go 5 out, and it just ruined the Wolves in overtime. It made Chris Finch
be like, I got to figure out a way to guard 5 out. It's like, you got to figure out a way to guard Trey Lyles. You're
he was
in trouble.
He was talking like, I got to find a way to like cover this gambling debt that I have. I don't know what to do. Like, that's how he was talking with, like, I got to figure out a way to cover 5 out.
It's absolutely Mike Brown. It has to be Mike Brown.
Well, all right.
He had to wipe the stink off an entire franchise. He had to wipe away losing habits for De'Aaron Fox. He has a rookie in Keegan Murray who is one of their key pieces. He had to integrate Kevin Herter. They hardly have any defensive minded players on the entire roster.
I'm going to get in trouble for this, I'm sure. I kind of feel like Sabonis has been a fake all-star in the East. But now he's
a real all-star in the West?
Yeah, I feel like this is the first year where I'm like, yeah, man, this is it.
I don't think the reason I say that
is because the East has often been like, well, shit, we need some front court dudes. Right? Like, that's how it's been in the East for a while. Hello, Nikola Vucevic is a two-time all-star. Like, that's kind of where we've been. And it's not, I can say now, like, I don't mean to diminish Sabonis' accomplishments with that, even though that's absolutely what I'm doing. But you look at this season, and I'm like, him doing this season is way more impressive than what he did in Indiana to me.
Yeah. And it cannot be stressed enough how much they had to overcome of just the Kings stink.
Yeah.
Like, they hadn't made the playoffs since 2006. The last time they made the playoffs
in the league,
Meta World Peace was averaging 41 minutes per game for them. It was Kenny Thomas, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
The theaters.
The Departed.
The Departed came out.
The number one song on the Billboard charts was Bad Day.
Where Kevin was the Martin, moment we Kevin Martin was in his most. Second season, I believe.
And I don't even like these.
And the magic is lost.
I don't even like these. We always go to the hard scramble. Who did more with less? Like, who surprised you, coaches? Like, I do feel like sometimes,
sure,
you know, the coaches who are handling expectations, right, and keeping it, like, they should get some credit. But this is one of them times. I'm basically taking a shot at Schleck's coach, but.
Whoa! I mean, say his name. Say his name.
Mark, no diggity, no doubt.
There it is. Yep, you got there it. You go. Can't say you're wrong in February. I do think that Mark Daigneault is worthy of, like, balloting on that, right? I think the job Jacques Vaughn has done, like, taking over that shithole.
Yeah.
With where it was, and the turnaround has been crazy impressive. I mean, Joe Mazzulla, an interim coach with the, you know, best record in the league for most of the season. Like, there's a lot there, but it's funny. Like, to me, Mike Brown, like, they're not even winning like Mike Brown teams do. It's just like they're a mediocre at best defense and a historic offense. And yeah. Killing in clutch situations.
And that's the
team is so like well coached in clutch situations. Like, it's crazy that change. Yeah.
They're like Phoenix.
That team has made Zach Harper respect De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis.
I didn't say that.
You got a glimmer in your eye, buddy. No.
It's hey, truth.
You about ready to go home. You want to light the beam.
The Thunder.
You know
the
what?
Thunder has like, been would, so impressive, though.
I want to light the beam just because I know it would piss off Kings fans because they don't like me. That's why I want to light the beam. Like, hey, Sacramento's home. Let's go.
They should have you light the beam. It would be
On the night they clinch a playoff spot. That's when I want to do it.
That's
push when Chris Webber out of the way. Push these guys out of the way. No,
Thunder. That's what I want to see.
The Thunder. I feel like the Thunder, assuming they keep this going, right? Because you never know if they're going to shut people down at any given point, and you never know what injuries they might have. But assuming they keep this going, like the Thunder. They're kind of slept on contention. As a story. They're good. And they're good, right? Like, they're a really good defense. Obviously, Shea is phenomenal. They're probably just missing a guy here and there, but, like, that's a good team.
And they have good coaching. They play such a fun style.
Well.
They play with so much pace. They have so many guys who can put the ball on the floor, which is going to be tough to guard, especially when they get Chet Holmgren and start coming into their own. But
they're low-key built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they got guys. They, really they got a lot really of guys
Let's
who can just say.
Down. Let's calm
no, no,
down.
No. I'm just saying.
No, for real.
Like,
no,
yes. How
you
many guys. How many guys can you.
No.
They got a lot of guys who just have a lot of shot making.
Playoffs
creating potential. I'm just saying.
Who has shot making? Shea Gilgeous can't shoot, even though he's amazing.
What are you talking about? You can't shoot.
He can't.
I mean, just like
numbers.
The ability
He's
to
amazing.
Create
He's
a
amazing.
Shot.
It's
the ability to create a shot. They got a few guys who can do that. And that's
He's
about
a murderer.
Josh Giddey, he's built for the playoffs now. Like, come on, let's tone it
Shea
down.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander is a serial killer. He's
an amazing
a murderer.
Story. They are incredibly fun to watch.
They're also below 500.
They are not right. built for the playoffs. Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, they got. You in 2 years you're gonna be saying something different. Uh-huh, you're gonna be singing and praying. Oh,
he's
this team is great.
He's gonna be King's
Josh
Thunder
Giddey.
Conference
yeah,
Finals.
You're gonna be talking all that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
For the Josh,
and we'll be wondering if
superstar.
We wonder if the Wolves can make the plan. Who is the best in the West? Back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. Take three. Are there any elite teams in the West? The West has averaged three teams per season with a plus five or better net rating since the 2011-2012 season. This season, none. Zero. The Grizzlies have the best net rating in the West at plus 4.3 per 100. Nuggets, best record in the West at 35-16. And the Warriors are the defending champs and have gotten fully healthy. Marcus, who do you think is the best team in the West?
Man, that's such a tough call. I'm not fully buying Denver. Even though they're clearly better, I wonder about that bench. I wonder about their ability to defend, like in a Western Conference Finals when it's like everybody's locked in. But who else is there? Like, every other team you would say is the best is based on something we have not seen. Like, Kawhi and Paul George playing together for, like, a month. Or, like, the Warriors playing like the Warriors for, like, a month. Like,
Or even a day. The Warriors, do it for a day. We're like, yep, yeah, no, this is theirs.
So, Denver and Memphis Denver and Memphis are the two teams who are playing their version of basketball consistently all season long, right? Like, they are who they are. They've arrived at who they are, and they do it well. So that makes them elite in the West because nobody else can seem to do that, right? So,
right.
But if Minnesota beats Memphis in the first round of playoffs, who's gonna be shocked? Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't understand.
Yeah,
look, all I know is this day.
I would be shocked if Minnesota beat Memphis.
I might be shocked
if they make
but
it.
But if the Thunder beat the Thunder are built.
Oh, because the Thunder are built for it, man.
They're If the Thunder get in this year, series
would be disgusting just because that's all defense, man. Like, that's a defensive battle.
No, the Thunder are built for it.
The Kings are elite. There we go. I'm going with that. The Kings are elite. The elite team. Nah, dang it. Yeah, nobody's elite, man. They don't nobody's have any elite teams.
I'm going to take it a step further. Nobody's elite in the whole NBA. And I think there are certain teams that could get there. I think the Celtics could get there. I think the Bucks could get there. I think the 76ers maybe.
I think the Bucks are probably the best team in the league. Like, if we're really breaking it down.
I'm worried about Middleton. He won't be himself when it matters. Otherwise, I would agree with you. And then the Grizzlies have a chance to get there. But it's like, and part of it is just that the bad teams aren't as bad as they used to be. There are like four very bad teams in the NBA, and that's it. Like, the Magic, they can beat you. Those guys.
The Magic are built for the playoffs.
The Magic are built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I will actually agree with that. They are, man.
That's a good team. That's a good, like,
man,
I, they started,
heck,
they,
nah, no, the Magic they, ain't they, built for, no,
they started 5-20. Since then, they're good. Like, they had a bad, they're kind of this year's Pelicans. Like, they're good.
They are, yeah, they're gonna totally average right now. But the talent there with Boncaro and Wagner, those dudes, and I'm not talking about Mo, those dudes, they're going to be hell. They are actually built for the playoffs.
I like that we're talking about elite of the West, and we got to Orlando Magic talk here.
But here's the thing. There's no elite team, and that's why the Warriors still have – like, I still look at the Warriors as a favorite because
they're still the best to me.
Yeah. I still trust them more than anyone else. The last time we saw the Grizzlies in the playoffs, they had that disgusting series against Minnesota where everybody was just really trying to give it away.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust them when it matters most. But the wild card here is I do think the Grizzlies will be active looking for an upgrade. And if they go out and get Anunoby or somebody like that, that totally changes the calculus for me.
The less they play Dylan Brooks.
But other than that, the Warriors.
I mean, basically.
I still think it's them. I still think it's the Warriors in the West.
Because
I'm not going to trust Jokic. I love Jokic, and I think he's been incredible in the playoffs. I'm not going to trust him to win the West until he does it. I'm not.
It's Bucks territory from a few years ago, right? Where it's like, look, until they do it in the playoffs, and then they did it, right?
Only maybe problem with the Warriors maybe it's
Denver
is
this year.
They're playing really hard right now. It's like,
hey man, back-to-back road wins.
They're playing really hard. Sometimes it doesn't mean a win. Like, this is the first time I've seen the Warriors where Klay could get 40, Steph could get 30, and they are fighting at the end of the game.
And,
right?
And you know who they're fighting? They're fighting those Thunder. They're fighting the Thunder.
They're fighting those Thunder, baby. Yes.
All right, back after this, the Rising Stars.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Take four. The Rising Stars are here. On Tuesday, the NBA released the list for the Rising Stars Challenge at All-Star Weekend, headlined by rookie Paolo Banchero, sophomores Scotty Barnes, Jalen Green, and Josh Giddey, who's built for this, fellas. Seeing that the teams are getting drafted from this pool of players, why don't we do a little mock draft ourselves, okay? Marcus, we'll start with you. And go back and forth until you guys have a starting five for this Rising Stars. You've got the list right in front of you. We've got some G League guys in the mix. And we got our starting five. The winner of this will be handled in the comments section on our new YouTube page. Make sure you go check out. You can watch us talk every week. If you want to watch us talk, YouTube. The Athletic NBA Show podcast. Watch Jay fumble with the microphone that does not want him to speak into it every single week.
This thing, every single week it breaks.
When the podcast is up, go leave us a comment on the video. Let us know whose lineup is the best. So, Marcus, who is your number one pick?
Why in the hell is Wembanyama not in this game?
That's a good question. Go ahead, draft him.
All right, that's what I'm drafting. Victor Wembanyama. There we go.
You got Wembanyama. Jay?
I just have to first just speak out.
Oh boy.
Why are we doing this? Why is Mac McClung, who cannot even make an NBA roster, in the Rising Stars Challenge? You want to put Scoot Henderson. You want
to
put the prospects in there.
My background. This is
go
black
for.
Oh yeah,
moment.
It's nice, right? Yeah,
black go for it. Right here. Put the prospects in there. Mac McClung is in his second year of professional basketball, and he's not a prospect. He cannot make the NBA, and he's going to be in the Rising Stars Challenge.
In the dunk contest.
Yeah, Who cares? He shouldn't be there either. He should be so far away.
We finally found the one white player that.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is an exciting white player. Jay is like railing against him.
Look, historic moment. I don't dislike.
He's fun, man. The guy seems to work really hard.
Put him in the dunk contest.
Yes, because it's disgusting that the NBA would stoop to this level to have Mac McClung in some of the premier events of the entire NBA season, and this guy is a G League player. He's a G League player. What are we doing? Yeah. Why is he in the Rising Stars Challenge? Why is he anywhere near All-Star Weekend? He should be somewhere in Grand Rapids or Erie or wherever they play the G League.
Feels like we're not going to get this draft off the ground.
Okay, no, let's draft. Let's draft. I'm going Kenny Lofton Jr.
Yes!
Speaking of guys who are not NBA prospects, but he's amazing.
You're out of your mind, man. This dude's going to be an MVP. He's going to kill in that game. He kills in every one of these games. Like
he's going to kill everyone.
Under 19, it doesn't matter.
Me and DA did a pod with Trash Talk in France, and they were talking about like Kenny Lofton Jr. is famous in France. Because they remember.
He was given Wembanyama buckets.
Everybody thought it was a Chet. He just knows how to play.
He won the U.S. gold medal that day. Chet had nothing for Wembanyama.
Nothing.
But Lofton gave him hell.
Yeah. Lofton gave him absolute hell. And Schlecht has let us know that G-Leaguers aren't part of the draft. But who cares?
Are part of our draft or the draft?
All right. The draft. It's just a G-League team that Jason Terry's coaching.
So my second G-League player... This is my second pick is from the G League is James Wiseman, who's also not on this list.
Okay, so Marcus has Wembanyama and James Wiseman so far. Jay, who's your next pick?
I'm going with I want to go with Franz Wagner, but I feel like this is not an event for him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going with Benedict Mathurin. He's gonna kill in this game. Wagner is a substantially better player at this point of their careers, but Mathurin is going to have so many points in this game.
You both have screwed up this draft so wrong.
Yeah, I'm going Scoot. He passed on Scoot. I'm going Scoot.
Yeah. Okay. You got Scoot. Yeah. You got Scoot. He drafted Wembanyama, who's not in the game. And James Wiseman, who's not in the game.
Who shouldn't be in the game.
Yeah.
And Jay, if you don't pick Kuminga next, that's my next pick.
Jay, who's your third pick?
Scotty Barnes.
Okay. That's a good one.
I still believe in Scotty.
All right. I gotta go.
He's good. What do you mean still believe? He's not having a bad year.
But people have soured on him.
Because people don't watch the Raptors. He's really good. He's playing really good basketball.
I mean, some of the people are his teammates, so I'm just...
Well, that's a whole other issue. All right, Marcus.
All right, I'm going Paolo.
So the number one pick, the runaway rookie of the year, went seventh in this draft.
But Kenny Lofton is going to give him hell, though.
He is. No,
there's no way Bob Carroll is going to stop Kenny Lofton.
He's got nothing for him. Jay, who's your fourth?
I should have picked Bob Carroll a long time ago, if we're being honest here.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But you didn't.
I'm going to just pick a roster full of nutjob gunners. So Jalen Green is my next pick.
Yeah, I love that pick. You know I love that pick. All right, Marcus, who's right? So far you have Victor Wembanyama, James Wiseman, Scoot Henderson, and Paolo Banchero. Who's your pick?
I need a shooter. I need a ball handler. I think, you know what? Hey, I'll raise you your Jalen Green, and I'm going with... Dang, I was going to say Bones Highland, but I couldn't do it.
Wow. A backcourt of Bones and Scoot? That's fun.
Yeah, it is. More fun than Keegan Murray? I don't know. Oh. All right, I'm going with Bones. I need somebody who can dribble around.
Jay, how do you round out your five to compete with James Wiseman? Oh, should have been
Jose. Jose and Scoot.
Bones Highland, Scoot Henderson.
The Wiseman and Wembanyama are going to be tough to deal with down low.
Well, Wiseman will be pretty easy.
Relax.
I feel like...
Wiseman's out for this game, by the way.
It's tough to pass on Jalen Williams because he's built for this. And he's built for a lot more than this.
Yeah.
He's built for real games. Josh Giddey, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Make a pick.
I mean, it's kind of bleak at this point. I'll go Keegan Murray. I'll go
okay.
Keegan Murray.
He said it's kind of bleak. I just want to let everyone in the comments know what none of these idiots picked Evan Mobley. Okay?
Okay. That was sheer oversight.
Is he on the list? Where?
Sheer oversight.
He's on the list.
Yeah, it was not bleak. Turns out it was not bleak at all.
It always.
Oh, geez. And Trey Murphy.
Turns out a stud was looking me right in the face.
Oh, wow. Good basketball players.
All right, so Wiseman is injured. I'm using Evan Mobley as my injury replacement.
I also can't believe.
I didn't see him on the list.
He's right there. I'm staring right at him.
He's like Rudy Gobert. You got to pick him last in any All-Star weekend event.
All right, take five.
My squad is nice, though.
Walker Kessler is good.
Your squad is also ineligible for this game.
That's a lie.
Take five. Battle for the last guard spot in the West. No, we're not talking about these two guys drafting NBA sophomores, rising stars, and rookies and G League players. I hope the comments just eviscerate.
I had the worst draft ever.
You guys, jeez. All-star reserves will be announced tonight.
Yeah, that's bad.
For both the East and the West. The West is stacked with guards. Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander look like locks. We got Damian Lillard, De'Aaron Fox, Anthony Edwards. All-star worthy plus some more. But one of those guys is going to be sitting at home or in Cancun or in Tulum or somewhere nice instead of making the trip to SLC. Marcus, which two guards are you going with to make the all-star team?
Oh man, this is tough. I don't
know. Ja, let's just call Ja and Shai locks.
Ja and Shai, and I don't know.
Got a Devin Booker.
Let me see. Maybe Devin Booker, has he played enough games? I would pick Devin Booker, but he hasn't played enough
games.
He's
played as many as Kawhi. And they're saying Kawhi's going to make it.
Yeah, I'm not saying Kawhi's going to make it. Two guards I'm going with, De'Aaron Fox, who's a lock to me. And the other guy is very obvious. It's a perennial lock. He should be there all the time. There's only one guy on this list from Oakland, so of course he's making my list. Damian Lillard is a hands-down all-star. He's what the all-star game is all about. We want to see superstars. He's a superstar, so that's easy. Sorry, Ant. I love you, Ant-Man, but not this year.
Wow.
I know.
Jay, who are you, De'Aaron Fox and who for you?
First of all, De'Aaron Fox deserves it. So let's not just pretend like I'm the only one who will put him on this list.
I literally just put him in. Like, why are you trying to erase the black man on February 1st?
Yeah,
man. Erase the black man on February. Come on, man.
I gotta go with Dame too. Devin Booker played such a high level, but he just didn't play enough, and the competition is too much. And Anthony Edwards, like, it pains me to leave him off the All-Star game. Because I want to see him in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
He would help make it fun.
He would be perfect for that.
He has been.
He's an All-Star player, right? Like, he's made for that type of game.
Yes.
Yeah. He would do just some ridiculous stuff.
He also should get a reward for having to,
deal with
that team out of the dumps this year. Yes,
and he's taking a midseason leap. He is carrying them to wins. He's doing it every single night. But also, when I watch him, there's still like this level of recklessness that Damian Lillard does not have and Devin Booker does not have. And so that's the only reason why I'm not putting him in this game. Even though like watching that guy lately is just, you can see him just figuring it out on the fly. They've just put the entire offense in his hands. And I don't even know if that's like, if I thought that would be his ideal role, but I'm now thinking like Anthony Edwards as a long-term point guard is not just extremely viable, but just extremely dangerous for your whole team concept. Because if he's the smallest guy on your team, think of how huge your defense could be, how athletic you could be. So he's unreal. But
also, it takes the ball out of D'Angelo Russell's hands. Which is just as important. Yeah.
he's been shooting the crap out of the ball lately, though. My man D'Angelo Russell has been pumping them.
Giving up
in.
Way more on the other end.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's never gonna be Dennis Rodman out there.
I would settle for Dennis Schroeder on defense at this point, let alone Dennis Rodman. It's been bad, man. It's been really bad. Who do you think ends up getting snubbed the worst?
Is it Ant? Is it Devin Booker for not playing enough games? Because he'll have missed like what, like 20 games or something.
Yeah, Booker's going to be the worst snub.
Or wouldn't the easy thing to be to put Booker in and then add one of these guys as an injury replacement? Like, no offense to De'Aaron Fox, who totally has earned it, but maybe he should be the injury replacement just to make sure we get Booker in. Then there's an up in arms, like, how does De'Aaron Fox not make it? And then he gets selected, and it's first time injury replacement. Like, maybe that needs to be the pay the dues. Well, he's played in Sacramento for a while, so maybe that's paying his dues. I don't know.
Are the Kings going to get two?
Yeah. I mean, Sabonis has to be a lock, right?
But honestly,
third. Like, here's the thing. If they were still toiling around, like, 6 through 10 or whatever, like,
third
sure.
In the West,
like, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe two are not going to. They're third. Like, they have to get two at this point.
The Kings, Mike Brown. Salute to Mike Brown, man.
Salute to Mike
Brown. Salute
yeah.
to Mike Brown.
By Is Aaron way, Gordon getting in?
I hope so, just to see your reaction. I really hope so.
He's not, but he should.
I don't know about that.
He's not, but yeah, he should.
I don't know.
I feel like we need to reserve an all-star spot for the non-all-stars who play like all-stars for half the season.
What is this?
And are valuable to their team.
We're putting special teams guys on there?
Basically, yeah.
That's what it should be. Hey, you know what else we should be
Drew
doing?
Drew Holiday it should be an all-star. Like, what he's done for that team. Like, when
Clamps.
They meet, like, yeah, man. Carrying the load. Middleton's out. I like that. By the way, 100 years ago today, this is for you, Jay.
Okay.
First black professional basketball team started. Not 100 years ago. 100 years ago, all-star weekend.
But why is that for
Come
me?
Come on, the
Why wouldn't
man,
it be?
I'm, come on. I thought we were vibing. I thought you know what I'm saying?
No.
You guys were picking Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I'm giving you some Black History Month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow, Jay just kind of pushed that
come
away.
Come on, man.
The Renaissance, man.
New York Rens. Let's go. Mm-hmm. February 1923. It's a Black History Rens. Moment for this episode.
I'm going to come next week when we do this. I'm going to wear some Renaissance gear.
Let's see if the NBA honors them at the All-Star game in honor of Black History Month. Let's see if they do that. Hint, hint, Adam Silver. Hint.
In Salt Lake City. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. What? The All-Star Game's in Salt Lake City. I'm just saying where it is. I'm just reminding people. Check it out. All-Star Weekend, Salt Lake City, 2023. Hey, you know what else you should check out? The Bounce. It's a free newsletter every single morning, penned by yours truly, the Athletic NBA staff, Shams Charania. You get the best coverage. We'll tell you where you need to be, where your eyes need to be every single day. You can sign up at theathletic.com/bounce newsletter. Make sure to subscribe to all of our podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay, for Marcus, for Schlecht, I'm Zach. Keep it locked
for black
in
people.
On The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.